Mercury went into retrograde. That just fucked up our entire timeline. And someone found out about it. Some Cthulhu person found out about it.
There was something wrong with their computer system, so they had to identify Huntley multiple times.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Remember how they do that?
Yeah, indeed.
More callbacks.
And MK Ultra did a couple attempts to abduct me, but fended them off. No. Shook their trail.
But
I descended into madness for a month.
But on that note,
as I do
say, we're live. But yeah, welcome to the High Kind season two.
Season two.
Is official.
Promise.
It's official.
We're getting serious now.
We're totally serious.
We're gonna have commercials and music, and I don't know what the commercials are for yet. It'll probably be fake products to start off. I think I want to do like a video of Huntley dressed up as Beetlejuice, doing that Zagnut style commercial that Beetlejuice did. Mm-hmm. But for the High Kind, I think that would be. Mm-hmm. I think Huntley, you're the perfect candidate to be Beetlejuice.
I agree.
Yes.
You know, we could do a ghost. Oh, we could do a Ghostbusters commercial for the High Kind.
Commercial. This sounds like a lot of lawsuits.
No, it's satire, right?
I mean, they don't really seem to care. Disney definitely doesn't give a shit about fair use.
Yeah, no. I guess they probably wouldn't sue us, though. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, fine. Well, we should have recorded one for lampooning werewolf movies, because that's what we're talking about tonight is werewolves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh. I forgot.
Oh, no. Is this the Twilight werewolves or?
No.
All werewolves.
Okay.
All werewolves. Well, we're just basically, we did one on vampires. So I felt it was fair to do like a real life werewolves. And while there's not any super like werewolf societies, at least I know that claim to be their werewolves outside of role playing and furries. And this is no kink shaming, but I kind of just went through history and just found like three different cases of werewolves that or what people claim to be werewolves. And I guess I'll just kick that off with Andy, you know, you've studied on some of this stuff too, haven't you?
Yeah. And as usual, I have an interesting point of view. I'll save till the end. So, yeah. But yes, I've studied lycanthropy and shape shifting in detail.
Yeah. And we've talked about, about skinwalkers in season one. Mm. And I think there might be an overlap here, but do you know about Peter Stump?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
I see Peter Stump and I also seen Stub. But he was born in Germany in the early 1500s. And
was he a mental patient?
No. His story is kind of interesting. But there's all sorts of different names. I've heard everything from Griswold to Abel to Stub to Stump. But there's he basically was from a small village. In Bedburg in the time about a couple hours away from Cologne, Germany. And the villagers basically thought he was a werewolf because livestock started to turn up dead. I mean, the carcasses of these unfortunate animals were torn apart and their entrails were spread around them. It was not long after this that women and children began disappearing too. So basically, animals started dying first. Women and children started dying or just disappearing. And it's unclear why Stump became the prime suspect of the villagers. However, there's been some explanations. And basically, the two big ones I see is rumors of incest. One explanation concerns his mistress, said to be a distant relative of his. In addition to being considered incestuous, Stump's mistresses may have had a husband or a lover who spread the werewolf rumors. And another one was political reasons, that Stump was falsely accused of being a werewolf because he was a Protestant convert, not Catholic, and the trial was a way to persecute him. And then another thing that they pointed to was that he was missing his left hand, and somebody who saw the werewolf said that the werewolf was missing a paw. And because Stump was missing his hand, they were just like automatically like, he's a goddamn guilty werewolf. Guilty.
Done. Over.
He's a Protestant. He's missing a goddamn hand.
Can he float?
And he that's fucks the real his question. Werewolf.
The devil's right hand. Mm-hmm. Wait, was it left hand or right hand?
It was his left hand.
Doesn't matter. Either way.
So cousin fucker, Protestant, and you know, missing a hand was enough for them to be like, dude's a werewolf. So
abomination.
Yeah. And so they captured him, and after a group of men tracked him down, they trapped the werewolf. Somehow the werewolf disappeared, and livestock started to be fine. And they just were like, oh, it's this dude. And after his capture, he was put on a torture rack, and he eventually confessed to being a werewolf.
As you do when you're fucking tortured.
Exactly.
Because you'll admit anything.
Yeah, you will admit anything. Like the entire water. Yeah, you'll say whatever it is to just get it.
It's the worst form of information extraction. It's terrible. Yeah,
don't let the movies fool you. Shit doesn't work. And
Jack
it's not
Bauer
consistent.
Is lying. You're not going to get reliable information from this shit.
No.
And so my thoughts on him is, I don't think he was a werewolf. I think he just fucking pissed off people. And if you're torturing something just because livestock goes missing, you torture a dude. He said he fucking did it. And livestock quit missing around the same time that you captured him. It's the 1500s. All sorts of shit was going on then.
Yeah. And honestly, he may have just been suffering from madness of some kind, you know, and like it could have been as simple as that. Because how often was that, those kinds of, especially in the Western culture, those kind of experiences were viewed negatively as opposed to other cultures.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, how often were people like that just killed for being whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
A witch or a fucking werewolf or a vampire. Like, oh, yeah. That guy's weird. He's clearly one of these things.
Yeah, he's clearly kill it. Just fucking kill it.
Kill it. Just kill it.
Just yeah, exterminate it. I'm just wondering if like he did it. Did anyone talk about like his personality or like what kind of a guy he was? Or is it just like it's this guy?
It was just basically everything I found was just like, dude left the Catholic Church. He's missing a hand. He's a werewolf.
They're not going to record details about his personality probably because they're just, you know, back then there wasn't much concern for anything past, oh, yep, this guy died and this is why he's a werewolf.
Yeah, that's fair. I was just wondering if he like just kind of fucked with the people with his like non-existent hand, like goes up to someone, like, you know, talks like really serious.
Has a fake like, wooden hand, has, be like, hey, like, nice to meet you. And they shake his hand and they pull off the wooden thing and they scream.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, he just like lifts up his sleeve. There's like a stump. He's just like, let's shake on the deal.
You might be right. He could have been the town's trickster / madman, right? Like, he could have just been annoying the shit out of people.
You know, and they're just like, we gotta get rid of him. I can't take another one of his fucking Cordy Stump jokes. Let's call him a werewolf. Oh, if he asked me to shake on it one more time, I swear to God.
Oh God.
Oh.
What was his name again? What was his name?
Peter Stump.
Peter.
I mean, if I had a last name like that, I'd just fuck with people.
Yeah,
I couldn't take myself seriously.
Peter Stump, and he had a stump. It's so perfect. Like he had a sense of humor about it. And yeah, he just probably had
so many dad jokes and they were just sick of it. He'd just feel like anytime they said something confusing, he's like, "Well, you really stumped me there."
Let me lend you a hand.
Yeah, let me lend you. Yeah. Oh God,
so many good ones.
High five.
No. And if you did lose a limb, I would have to find a way to find it funny. Otherwise, I would just be depressed, right? So I would have to find a way to find it fucking funny and to fuck with people with it, just because it's like, you know, like it's like therapy.
Yeah,
embrace it. Yeah, and then someone would probably kill me for being a werewolf.
Yeah. Well, the lesson of Peter Stump's story is just don't do comedy. You're a heretic.
Not back then.
Not back then.
They didn't appreciate it.
They didn't appreciate dark humor.
Yeah, maybe he didn't know his audience, and he thought he did.
He couldn't read his audience at all.
Read the crowd.
The crowd when you're reading peasants that smell like ass. I doubt they're going to find your dad jokes funny.
Oh shit!
Oh, all right.
Puns were the highest form of humor back then. In limericks. He was probably like singing limericks about his hand, like naughty, dirty limericks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh god. Yeah.
But this is Jack Roulette, who was convicted of lycanthropy in Angers, Western France in 1598. And this is from the history collection. And one day, an archer of a company saw peasants happen upon a nude and hideous mutilated body of a 15-year-old boy. The blood-soaked limbs were seen still palpitating. And it was deduced that this was a fresh kill. As the men approached, two wolves were startled and seen to be bound away to nearby bushes. Since they were armed and numerous, the group decided to give chase through the thick undergrowth. And nevertheless, they were not prepared for what happened next. A tall and gaunt figure of a man with long, straggly hair and a great beard, half-dressed in torn rags, strode forth to meet them. His hands were bloody, and beneath his fingernails were lumps of human gore. So revolting a sight that the man was basically, they're scared shitless out by this dude. I would be too. And they mustered the courage finally to seize him and bind him, but they eventually succeeded in dragging him to the local town where he was presented before the magistrate. And it transpired that the man, Jacques Roulette, a vagabond who traveled begging from town to town with his brother Jean and his cousin Julian. Jack confessed to murdering, basically, and examining, and he said that he was devoted to the devil at the young age by his parents, and they had given him a special unguent that allowed him to transform into a wolf with an appetite for human flesh. And the other two wolves of the basically how it's recounted is Jacques revealed that the two wolves seen feeding on the carcass were his relatives, Jean and Julien. He confessed to having killed and devoured children in the company of his brother and cousin across areas in which he was accustomed to travel. He also confessed to attending witch ceremonies.
So this one was one where they turn into actual wolves, not like hybrids.
Okay. Not hybrids. Not like the underworld things.
Yeah. Or whatever. Or any, you know, that form of wolfman form. Yeah.
The wolfman form. Did you ever see the wolfman with Jack Nicholson? No, wolfman was Benicio del Toro. Wolf was just Jack Nicholson. Sorry. I'm
gonna wolf, I did here. See.
But yeah. Wolfman, I saw the wolfman with Benicio del Toro too. It was long.
I did not see that. See that one. I grew up on the originals, though, the black and white horror movies.
The old ones, yeah.
Yeah, my dad made sure I saw the classics. And that and kaiju movies, like Godzilla and King Kong. Like those influenced me so much as a kid. And I love Lucy. I used to watch that shit, too. I was one of those kids, always watching the old stuff. But
yeah, I watched a lot of classic shit, too.
I loved the Wolfman, though. Lon Chaney, man. You know, so like I've always had a fascination with these subjects even from when I was even mm-hmm. just a really, really young kid. So and that was just my entry into it, was the OG movies like that. So yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the Wolfman form.
mm-hmm. I think like old classic shows like that. I think the Addams Family was probably my favorite.
Oh yeah. That was great.
I prefer the Addams Family over the Munsters. The Munsters isn't bad, but I like the Addams Family better. Well, that's one thing I'm surprised is they haven't tried to make a Munsters movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm.
Yeah, every other fucking IP's been bought.
Did you guys ever see Penny Dreadful?
I did.
Mm-mm. Oh my god. Oh, David, you should watch it, because yeah, we talked about vampires and they do the Wolfman thing more than that one, but which I thought they did a good job. But it's basically a really, it's like if you took all the classic monster characters like the Mummy, Dracula, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, all of it, right, and you wove it all into a single comprehensive narrative that actually made sense and was well written, like that's what you get. And Dorian Gray, like there's so many of these characters in these stories that are all woven together, and it's mm-hmm. so well done. Yeah, it is.
I'll check it out.
It's on Showtime.
It's incredible.
On Showtime.
It's on Netflix. Cool. On Netflix.
It might be on Netflix because they brought back Dexter and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to watch the City of Angels one. The new one.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
I mean, I have Showtime. I might as well fucking use it. Ugh. But I've been...
Sorry to sidetrack. I just want to throw that out there because it's such a good show.
I spent the hiatus watching a lot of TV. And I'm rewatching Battlestar right now.
Oh, so good. I was thinking about Battlestar today.
Yeah. It's on Peacock, which is free.
Yeah, I have that. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't pay for it because the only thing I'm literally using it for is Battlestar Galactica. But yeah.
Such a good story.
Oh, I know. So good. And I guess I have one more. And once again, this is from France. So it leads me to believe France has a werewolf problem. I mean, everything seems to be French.
Yeah.
I mean, the French are just weird in general. So, I mean, yeah.
Man, hold it another good, them. Well, another good pop American culture Werewolf reference, because, you know. No. The Brotherhood of the Wolf. Another good movie about,
I've seen
it. Have you seen it?
I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, I don't want to ruin anything for anyone that hasn't, but check it out. Yeah, it takes place in France, the same kind of thing, yeah.
No, it's been years since I've watched that. I might need to watch that again.
So good. So good.
Yeah. But this was, is this in the same fucking year? This was in the same year as the other one. But this was in the Champagne region of France, and it was in 1598. And basically, and this comes from Mysterious Universe, by the way, under the spell of fear, when children began to go missing at an unusual rate, at first it was deemed these children were vanishing off the face of the earth, but disappearances cast a new grim light when there were scattered reports of bestial creature, half animal and half man prowling the surrounding wilderness. Considering this was an era which myths and witches and monsters were very much considered a real threat, it's not long before the rumor spread that the town was besieged by a werewolf. I'm not going to try to pronounce the French word for it because I'll just butcher it. And so began the tale of the demon Taylor of Chillon. As children continued to go missing and sightings of the beast in the woods increased, there was mass hysteria brewing as people began to lock themselves in their houses under the moonlight to cower in fear of what laid beyond their doors. This was only propelled further into the macabre when there began to emerge accounts of the wolfman out in the woods devouring corpses of children like a ravenous animal. And there were even reports from children returning alive to say they had been chased by a snarling werewolf. This all spurred hunting parties because, of course, that's what we do as humans. We're just like, shit out in the woods, let's try to fucking kill it. And basically, they went to the dark wilderness for the sinister culprit without success. For a while, it seemed like they were at the mercy of whatever supernatural force had decided to descend upon the quiet village. But then there would be some new dark developments. There began to be suspicions cast upon a modest shop of a tailor on the outskirts of town, with rumors that there had been cries near the premises, mixed with the fact that the tailor himself was rather an eccentric individual who was rarely seen. I know, right?
Every time.
And been accused of having an intense interest in children passing his store. Reports began to emerge, the tailor speeding off into the woods at all hours of the night. There was a posse gathered to go search his premises, and what they would find in those walls was stuff of nightmares. Beyond the innocent appearance of the shop was supposedly a horror show of grotesqueries. In one room was found an array of barrels stashed in a corner, which then open contained the bodies of countless children. In another room, it was found to be like a butcher shop. Then a tailor with cuts of meat lying around, gathering flies and many of them already half-eaten, which proved to be human beings. The yard was dotted with shallow graves, blood, gore found everywhere, and it seemed like this was a horrific, nasty lair of a true monster. Yet the tailor himself remained calm and denied that he had done anything wrong.
I guess they had him right on the money.
They did. When I was first going over this and rereading, I was like, damn, man, they're fucking judging people again. And then you go into a shop and you're like, oh, no. They were on the nose.
A broken clock is right twice
a day. The man was kept in prison and tortured for his crimes, with him finally admitting to killing around 50 children, luring them into his shop to slice their throats and then powder and dress their bodies before butchering them and eating them.
Would you? I don't know what the law system was back then, but would you even really need the admission with that amount of fucking evidence?
No.
I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, at that point, like, I don't know.
I don't know how my chainsaw got here, sir.
Yeah, I don't know how I got here.
I don't know how all these body parts ended up here.
That bathtub.
Oh, man, I thought that was a dream.
I don't know how that got there.
I mean, man, it's weird decoration.
Weird fucking decoration, man.
I just really like Halloween. That's what it is.
Obviously,
year round.
But it's basically, awful. He even under torture, apparently, he still denied that he was a werewolf and brushed off the accusation that he had been transforming into a beast to kill children in the forest and basically desecrate their bodies. Nevertheless, these stories.
Serial killer.
Yeah, it's a serial killer. Nevertheless, the stories of the man flying into great rages in custody, during which he would froth at the mouth and display feats of superhuman strength, which only strengthened the resolve that he was a werewolf. According to the lore of the case, the tailor Shallan was brought into trial, and there were witnesses who claimed to actually see him transform into a wolf. And despite his denials, it came to be his turn. He allegedly flew into a blasphemous rant and was overcome by another animalistic episode, and before the sentence was carried out, he was no more after that, which the disappearance of the children promptly stopped. Apparently the court records were destroyed and tried to erase the event from history, but leaving only bits and pieces to survive to this day.
That sounds like it's like a mixture of like demonic possession and like berserker rage, you know, the actual berserkers. Viking berserkers, you know, like Yeah, which you could, like, the whole demonic strength idea. I mean, that's a reoccurring theme in the possession episode and other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how many squats a day did that one girl? It was like 400. I don't even know.
It was ridiculous.
It was a crazy amount of squats.
It was ridiculous. And the person literally fucking scaled a wall like a spider.
This guy was an incarnated archon and a fucking serial killer, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the fact he was remorseless, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he would just lie.
Yeah, just like no feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't know how this got here. As if like anyone viewing this wouldn't go, clearly you did it.
Yeah.
You know, like that's that whole thing about that dark triad, right? The narcissism and everything else about it makes you so incredibly like delusional. You know, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But no, I agree. I think
my mind into something like that, it's crazy to think about.
I think like the and these were the three most prominent ones. There's other legends and other stories, but they're mostly myths. These are like criminal cases with some kind of documentation that I was able to go to and that I found the most animalistic that would represent a werewolf. And the first one, I don't believe it. I think people just didn't like the dude. They listed several reasons why they didn't like him. We riffed about him being a comedian. The second one
probably was.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
The second one. The second one is probably the most feasible one to me, just because the two wolves running away and then finding the dude, you know, being covered in that
discolored skin
and just being like, yeah, I'm a werewolf. And those were my cousin and brother running around. That one's the closest one. The last one to me just doesn't sound like it sounds like some kind of demonic possession rather than a werewolf.
Yep. Yeah, he's one of those, like the one we talked about before, that was on, what's that show on, Mindhunters on Mindhunter? Criminal
Ed Kemper.
Kemper. Yeah. So he sounds like a Kemper.
Yeah.
Like, he was probably very influential or very like charismatic, probably, you know, like able to influence people too.
Mm-hmm.
And as a tailor, that's a really good job, right?
No. 'Cause
you could like, especially if you were making like high end clothing back in that time. Yeah. Get in with nobility and all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Also interesting that he was a tailor and part of the demonology episode, there was that one demon Adramelic. That was the that one.
Yep, the peacock angel. Or no, he's not the peacock angel. He's he sometimes appears as a peacock or like has the tail of a peacock or something, which is fitting, right? Sorry, not to confuse. The peacock angel is actually Gabriel. So, which is funny because the demons often will like take attributes of some of the angels in a way. I guess that's how they like bastardize them in a way. I've noticed that too. You know, we talked about their shape-shifting abilities, so which is also interesting going back to this case being demonic possession or you know whatever, but them seeing that shape-shifting thing, you know, that's not unheard of in mythology either. When people go into this like battle rage, there was a hero in Celtic mythology, Cuchulainn, one of my favorites, but when he would go into this battle rage and his skin would like move around and like twist around and like distort and all this shit, right? So he would go into this berserker rage. So it's not, you know, shape-shifting in general like that's definitely mythologically not unheard of. And maybe there's some basis to it. Maybe if you are possessed by a demon and you slip into such an incredible rage, maybe it does have like a psychosomatic effect on your body, right? Maybe you appear like in the movie Split, you know, remember when he goes into that that fucking personality and he just distorts entirely, he becomes more muscular and all of that, right?
So you're telling me that I can go Super Saiyan one day?
If you believe hard enough, I guess maybe. You gotta wonder. I don't know. Yeah. What are the limits of that? You know, placebo effect and
placebo.
I've been thinking about that a lot. Psychosomatic is effects are so interesting because like scientists, they just created the label placebo effect and then they just fucking shelved. They just use it as a label to shelf shit. They paradoxes they don't understand. And it's like, no, it's fucking magical, man. Like dig deeper into that because.
Yeah. Well, you know. Like the psychosomatic thing, I wish I had the fucking link to me, but there was a study that people that believed that they were in better shape would get in better shape.
Yeah. Belief is extremely powerful.
Yeah. No, I agree. And
in a more materialist reductionist world, we like to try to, disregard that as much as possible. We have, postmodern world has tried to move away from that kind of thought just because it's tied to religion, right? But if we can find some kind of middle ground, I think that that'll be pretty good. But yeah, it's pretty interesting to see those kind of effects, or like, women when their child's in danger, lifting a fucking car off of them, right? Like, yeah, there's physiological actions going on, right? Adrenaline and all these things, but the mom is basically going into a fucking berserker rage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the emotion is so strong that it overtakes her spirit, literally, and it's reflected physically, and it's just insane what people can do if they believe hard enough. Because in that moment, for that mother, there's not a shadow of a doubt of what she has to do at any cost. So it's just like, her reality becomes very, very clear. So like the limitations become, it's pretty interesting, I don't know. Sorry to go too deep.
No. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I see how people could be mistaken for something like an animal if they could like fall into that.
Yeah.
I don't know, madness in a way, enough. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Some berserker rage. Yeah.
Yeah. I think only the second story is the most viable one of potentially being a real life werewolf for that reason. Yeah. Just because they didn't you saw people transforming. Okay. Well, what we just went over. David, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm with you on that. Remember fucking in France, there was the wolf child too.
Go on.
Like it was a fucking
continue.
I think he was called the wolf child. Hold on. I need to,
I remember anyways, that too.
This, yeah, it was part of, psychology, one of my psychology classes. And it's this, one of the first instances, I don't know, it was a special event for some reason, but this kid basically grew up in the wild and he like wandered into town one day and they were basically trying to, he was like 11 years old when they got to him or something around that age. And so they were basically like trying to reintegrate him into society. And it was like this whole process. It was like the mid 1900s or something. Yeah.
Tarzan or any of those, that archetype, the lost Mowgli. Child returning.
Yeah.
Mowgli.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, wolf, I remember that child, story too.
The Wild Boy of Aveyron. Aveyron. I think this is it. Yeah, psychological case study. It's a really interesting late 1700s is when that happened. Residents near a wooded area in France spotted a child roaming alone. They tried to bring him into their home several times, but he always escaped. Finally, in January 1800, he came out of the woods for good. The locals cared for him for several weeks. He didn't speak. He pulled off clothing when they tried to put it on him and ran on all fours. He didn't respond to speech, so they thought he might be deaf. However, he responded readily to sounds that held meaning for him, such as food being prepared. He was termed the wolf child after the belief that he had been raised by animals. He was definitely feral in that he clearly had little, if any, exposure to other humans. It just kind of goes on for a little while. I don't see his age anywhere in here.
That's always fascinating to me. Like, how would you reintegrate someone?
Yeah.
Like yeah. Right. Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, the end of this is behind a paywall. So fuck modifications of everything. But I think the boy ended up like, it didn't end up working and he just went back into the wild.
Yeah. Well, as you would, because
don't quote me on that. I think that's what happened. Yeah, right. And especially like during the formative years like that, like
find a natural hard law to, is all he understands.
Yeah. Well, even, and also they found similar things with children who have been like severely neglected by their parents and like shut in a room for, you know, the first like couple years of their life. It like totally fucks with them like for the rest of their life afterwards.
Yeah. Makes you a major introvert, that's for sure.
Yeah.
My wife, there's a movie she loves that's kind of about that same kind of topic. It's about a woman that basically, a wild woman kind of, that gets found and tries to like reintegrate her into society and everything. And I think it's that same kind of thing and it doesn't really work. But yeah, I can't remember the name of the movie. But yeah, that's a classic archetype that seems to reappear in life too. And I wonder what other cases there are of, you know, those kind of kids raised in the wild by themselves or by animals. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Also says a lot that animals do occasionally do that kind of stuff. Like, you know, it's a repeating, you know, like the whole Remus and Romulus, you know, the origin of Rome, right? The brothers raised by wolves, you know?
Yeah.
It's not unheard of for these kind of things to kind of happen. Norse mythology, there's the other example of Odin being basically suckled by this ox, you know, or oxen, or the female version of an ox. But nonetheless, you know, it's that same kind of thing of like, this recurring theme of being adopted by nature. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, yeah. Princess Mononoke turned out pretty well. So.
Oh yeah. I forgot. Yeah. About that one.
That's a good.
Yeah. One. I need to rewatch that. Yeah.
I rewatched it like last month. Yeah.
Yeah. I know they have all of it on HBO Max. Been thinking about rewatching all of them, like all his movies. And Princess Mononoke will come first. Cause that's the very first one I saw.
Me too. Yeah. I had a couple friends, their first was, what was it, Kiki's Delivery Service, I think?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Actually, I have never seen that one. But no, for me, it was Princess Mononoke.
All right.
I don't know. Fucking wolves, man.
Fucking wolves, Andy. You
fucking
guys.
Wolves.
Andy,
you guys. Everywhere.
Lay it on us. Lay it on us.
If I haven't ranted enough, here we go. Here we go. Deep dive. All right. No, not too much. I want to throw some things out about the Moon Association. I mean, you know, the whole term lunacy, right? You know, the lunatic. Obviously.
Oh, I just watched The Magicians. So.
I mean, it's the effect of the full moon. I think anyone that's ever worked in the service industry can certainly attest to the effect the full moon has on the general public. And I know they do studies and they say it's not really true or not that accurate, but I swear to God, I've known ER nurses. I've heard it from so many different people that at a certain point, I think even though it's all anecdotal, it kind of outweighs for me. I don't know. I'm just saying. Personally, I believe in the effect of lunacy on the full moon. I don't know about you guys. What do you think, David? David, you're more science based than me, but
true.
You've also experienced the other side.
Yeah. For me, it's like hit and miss. Like there are definitely some weird, like people do act strangely with the full moon. But I guess like for me noticing it, it's like a little bit inconsistent.
I'm
there's
always
still something
on guard
to it though.
During full moon. I'm always like, people are gonna be wild.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Andy.
Yeah, I figured you would be.
I think I noticed like Mercury retrogrades more than like full moon stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
And this last one was fucking ridiculous. At the fucking,
was it?
I mean, just like everything that happened,
the snowstorm,
other random stuff in our lives,
get
and
this.
Just like everything going on. Yeah,
I was panicking because my car wouldn't start after when it was snowing. Yeah, my car.
Oh,
just like
wow.
In the middle of dealing with my other shit. It's like, oh, my car broke down. Awesome. So, but no, the minute the snow stopped, it turned back on.
Weird.
No check engine light. No, nothing on. Just works like it normally did. There has to be some water in my fuel line. Goddamn fucking liberal propaganda ethanol.
Yeah, it's the ethanol, man.
That's the only thing I could think of.
It's not good for engines. It's true.
No, it's
the water
not
buildup yeah, it's is not good for engines. That is true.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah. I was like, fucking Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Exactly. That you're right. That is one I do. I don't know. I've kind of gotten into a groove where I kind of work with the energy, I guess, more now. So it doesn't affect me quite as much. It still does, but just not quite to the degree it used to, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's always surprises. You always have to account for chaos, right?
Yeah.
So,
Well, it was just chaotic this past one. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed being snowed in. I was just like, fuck it.
I didn't mind. Awesome. See, I was fine with it until I was just like, okay, when the snow started melting and I went out there to start my car and it wouldn't turn over, I was just like, what the fuck happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then
I really snow. Sorry. No. I just needed to get that out there.
No, that's fine.
What? You hate it or miss it? You cut out.
No, I miss it.
Miss it.
Oh, I was cutting out. Yeah, it just rained here nonstop. Like,
yeah, you missed it all. That sucks.
Good. Yeah.
Well, like the day I was like, all right, time to get this fucker towed. I was like, well, I'll just go out there and start it one more time. And it just went.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Of course.
And I do want to say it's fucked up what happened in Texas, though. I don't want to sit here and be like, we're bitching. Privileged enough to enjoy it.
Yeah, we're sitting here bitching.
I don't want to. Yeah.
Oh, my power went out like the day it got warm. Not during the entire snowstorm. Not during any of that. But the day everything melted and it was like 50 degrees here.
Yeah.
Power went out. I was like, really? Yeah. I'm like, I'm glad that it happened there. Especially after like the horribleness that we saw in Texas. Like, I cannot believe. Everybody's just like, oh, free markets. And then you get hit with a fucking $17,000 electricity bill that you auto drafted out.
Oh my God.
See, this is why I don't auto draft anything. Everybody's like, oh, it's so fucking convenient. I was like, no, I don't trust anybody. I don't trust anybody.
I don't trust any corporation ever.
Yeah. Any corporation, ever. Anybody that is in this for the profit motive, I do not trust because I know that I want to see.
They'll fuck you when it comes down to the bottom line of it. They're gonna fuck you. They're not on your side.
Yeah. Every time I've signed up for a new utility, they're like, "Do you want to get on our auto panic?"
They're not your friends.
No.
Yeah. No.
They are not your friends.
Yeah. Not even my anything comes out. I write checks for everything because I just don't trust them. The only thing that comes out is Netflix and my streaming services. Everything else I see before I pay. And you're still getting screwed by the streaming companies. I didn't realize Netflix went up to $20 until I looked and I was just like, why is Netflix $20 now?
I know.
Oh, shit.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when it was $7.99?
I remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah.
Yeah. fucking utility. I have a story.
Go.
Go. Go for
it. So one of the apartments I lived in, basically the apartment complex had some arrangement with the power company. So it like paid the power or something. Mm-hmm. And then that like changed, but like I don't know, the staff didn't catch on to it. I don't remember the technical shit, but the second year we renewed the lease, the power company was like, hey, it was like my apartment and like a couple others were like, you owe us like $800 worth of back payments for the electricity bill that you were supposed to pay, but you know, someone didn't pay for it, so you're gonna do it. Actually, it was the apartment complex that was supposed to pay for it, and then they passed it on to us because like they didn't have the funds for it. So
I remember Matt going through something similar. He lived in remember when he lived in those fucking college dorm apartments with other college students, despite that he was not in college and he was past, he was older now.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do it either. But yeah, the same thing happened to him of like the electricity was supposed to be free and they used so much of it that they went to him and they're like, no, you're paying us. All right, Andy, got any more?
Fucking utility companies, man. Fuck them all.
More werewolf. Go, all right.
I do. Go. Get back on topic.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. All right. So I also want to mention something because the whole animal mutilation thing kind of reminded me of ancient Greece, the myths of the Maenads, which were worshippers of Dionysus. They would get, you know, really, really drunk, often dancing in the moonlight, around fires, having orgies. They embraced the ecstasy of madness, and often with lots of alcohol and wine and things like that, as Dionysus was kind of the original god of like sex, drugs, and rock and roll, in essence, and, you know, rock star and all that. But the Maenads would often then run out into the woods and kill live animals and like rend them apart and eat them with their bare hands, like, which is also showing the kind of like inhuman strength again thing, right? So there's clearly some way to tap into that psychosomatically if you get into an altered state or something, right? Tapping into, you know, there's ways to do that on a more consistent basis. There's techniques like yoga and these other more physical meditative arts, martial arts, obviously, that teach you control over your body. And I'm sure you can get to that extent. You know, I'm sure there's martial artists who have achieved some level of control over their body where they're able to just initiate those adrenaline bursts or whatever's required for that inhuman strength for just a, you know, just a short burst of it. But, it's just interesting to see that, there's many, many cases of this. And again, the Maenads often associate with the moon too. So again, the whole lunacy thing. The last thing I was going to bring up though was, you ever heard of therianthropes, the term therianthrope? It's the term for basically animal-human hybrid, right? So it's something you see in a lot of mythologies. Obviously, Egyptian mythology, you see the, you know, the jackal head or bird headed gods, you know, with human bodies and things like that. Many different examples of that: Thoth, Anubis, and whatnot. But you see in you see it repeated in a lot of religions, and it actually comes from, a lot of its roots seem to be in shamanism. And Graham Hancock wrote a book called Supernatural and has no association with the show. But in that book, he goes pretty deeply into the whole therianthrope appearance throughout these different religions and mythologies. And in essence, when shamans take these, enter these altered states, however they do it, whether it be through breath work or be through drug use or whatever, you know, plant medicine, these kind of plant allies, however they do it, they, often will shapeshift. There was a series of books, by, I think, Carlos Castaneda, that kind of goes into these effects a little bit where, you're in these altered states and you shapeshift into different animals, right? So that's a common reoccurring myth of the witch shapeshifting, or the gods shapeshifting into animals, right? So from my perspective, it seems kind of like these kind of things are happening more in an astral sense, right? Like you're having an out-of-body experience and you're shape-shifting in whatever form, right? And flying around in the astral realm, I guess. But, you know, and there is that region from my research, the what some people call the RTZ, the real time zone, where you're like the closest to the physical realm, basically. Like the time dilation, there's no time dilation. It's like a one-to-one. So I guess you could like change into an eagle and like go spy on someone, or a crow or something, right? Like these, like in the stories. But the thing is, I think that's also probably an origin of a lot of these shape-shifting myths, you know, is that these are events that are happening maybe in the astral, and then, you know, like we've talked about before, there's these weak points, or there's people that are more sensitive, like mediums and stuff, and, mm-hmm. and clairvoyants, and maybe people sometimes see these astral events, right? So you end up seeing someone who is a fucking half man, half animal, or half where, you know, wolf would be a very intimidating form to take on, right? So if some dark shaman or dark magician or whatever the hell, or sorcerer of some sort, warlock, is practicing these kind of arts, these astral arts of shape-shifting, and for whatever reason, maybe that's one of its forms. And, you know, the wolf, I guess, could have been a popular one in Europe because mm-hmm. it was probably regional, or, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
A practitioner in South America maybe would use like a more like a jungle cat or something of some type. So mm-hmm. it's or a serpent or something, or a snake or something. So or whatever they wanted, you know, to intimidate, basically. But it's just kind of interesting to me. I think that's probably the origin of a lot of the shape-shifting kind of creatures and myths and things like that. Is I think it's sort of like with spirits and UFOs and stuff, the people that are more sensitive to it for whatever reason, or if they're in an area that makes them more sensitive, it starts the origin of these myths, mm-hmm. Especially when you see one creature turn into another, you know. And anyone who's taken or read stories of, I've never taken it, but I've read plenty of trip logs from DMT and other drugs. A lot of the entities you meet are shapeshifters, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like the self-transforming mechanical elves, and they're these very high level geometries that are moving, and your mind just fucks with your mind, you know. So yeah, they appear to shapeshift in a way, but yeah, that's all I got. Tie a bunch of shit together there, but
yeah,
just to see where maybe the dots might connect with these subjects. That's my theory, at least.
No, I like that one. I find that one the most feasible. David, you got anything?
I do not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Fucking.
That's my mental web, my my Charlie, you know, with his like board with the fucking yarn going thing.
I can't follow up.
I can't either.
So I think we'll call that a wrap up. We are the High Kind. If you like what you hear, you can find us on every podcast platform, and we have a premium show on Patreon where we read weird news and answer listeners' emails. And come to thehighkind.com. Check it out. Have a great night.